Choice Tunes every second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 2 p.m. with Alan Collier introducing a special guest each show where they reveal their selection of favourite tracks. Tune in to discover what music influenced their lives. Only on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
I like the sound of that.
Choice Tunes, and you know what we're doing here? We invite a person in, we find out quite a bit about their life and also the music that's had some sort of influence on their life. Now, the person I've got in today is a man. He's a person that a number of you will listen to him on air, but he's got a lot more string to his bow than just being a presenter on Yarra Valley FM and being part of the Committee of Management. So it's my absolute pleasure to introduce Bruce Argyle. How are you, Bruce?
I'm great, Alan. How are you going?
Don't worry about me. I'm going well, thanks. But this interview is all about you.
Terrific. Great to be here on the 23rd of the 8th, 23. So it's 23/8/23 today, Alan.
Sounds good to me. Bruce, let's get started. Where were you born, Bruce?
In Palmerston North, New Zealand. It's a regional centre, about 100,000 people, about an hour and a half north of Wellington, on the bottom of the North Island, Alan. Yeah.
And how long were you there, Bruce?
Yeah, so my first 21 years I spent there. Right. Yeah, so there you go. Kiwi, can you hear my Kiwi accent, listeners? Well, you might still be there.
I wouldn't have picked that up, to be honest. All right, so what brought you, or did you come at 21 to Australia by yourself, or where's your family, or what happened?
Yeah, so I knew one American, Alan, and he challenged me to consider going over to the States to work for a while and to work with disadvantaged kids. And so that's exactly what I did. I upstumped, resigned my secondary teaching position, and together with my wife, we went over to San Francisco. And one of the songs I've selected for today refers to that. But that was the start of a journey that eventually brought us here to Australia in 1985. So there you go.
So let's go back a bit. So you were married in New Zealand?
Yes.
So, and at 21, we were married.
20, yes, that's right, 21, yes.
It wasn't at that time. But anyway, so you were in New Zealand. So what was your first part-time job?
First part-time job was, cutting thistles on the government farm next door, Alan, for 50 cents an hour. And then I'd do that in the morning, and then I'd cart hay bales in the afternoon. So, farming related, because I grew up on a farm.
So was this before and after school, or was this a
yes, this was before and after school weekends kind of stuff. Yeah.
All right, so then obviously went to uni. Well, we don't worry too much about schooling, so then you trained as a secondary teacher?
That's right, and I taught maths and chemistry and science for about 3 years.
In New Zealand?
In New Zealand, yep. Right. Yep.
So then you go to America and you work with the disadvantaged.
That's right. Yeah, young people, disadvantaged kids, taking them to all over the place. I've been to Disneyland 14 times, Alan, and with kids that were challenging. You know, it was usually about 10 o'clock in the morning, and there'd be a loudspeaker, a voice would come over, Bruce Argyle to security, or something or other. So the 14 visits to Disneyland were, you know, fraught with challenge as well.
All right, so how long were you in America?
4 years.
4 years. So then what brought you from... did you come from America to Australia?
Yes, that's right, and moved over here again to work with young people initially, and then moved into family work and eventually into family mediation, focusing on homeless kids.
All right, so let's go back. What made you decide to come to Australia?
We'd had two children by now born in San Francisco, right. Rebecca and Mark, and it was a long way from a long way from family, from grandparents, from extended family, Alan, to be in San Francisco in the days when you had to take two flights to get there. And so Melbourne was a lot closer than San Francisco was.
Let me just ask you, why didn't you go back to New Zealand? What made
you? Yes, in some ways I'm considered to be, I say this tongue-in-cheek, the black sheep of the family, because I'm the only non-farmer in my family. Oh, so okay. So I've got three brothers and a sister who are all on the land. So I guess I just couldn't quite face that cold stainless steel in the cow shed at 5:30 in the morning, Alan. So that led me on a different path, really. And I love working with people, and those listeners who know me will know that I enjoy community and people. Mm.
All right, let's ABBA, Dancing Queen. Why did you pick Dancing Queen?
I guess that was growing up. It was ABBA was big, you know, in New Zealand and Australia, I'm sure. Well, in the whole world, and I always had a sort of an interest in ABBA, because both for their music and my initials are BA as well, so that kind of goes with ABBA's made up of lots of B's and A's. Just loved the rhythm of their music, and it was pretty bouncy and trendy, and yeah, loved it.
Let's listen to it.
Yeah.
choice tunes, and I'm talking to Bruce Argyle. Now, I know a lot of you will say you've listened to Bruce over some time, but there's a lot more bows to, or string to his bow, so we'll be talking about, find out a lot more about Bruce. Bruce, all right, you've come to Australia. So what was your first job when you got to Australia?
Yeah, thanks, Alan. So my first job was as a youth worker. I was based in Box Hill, and I was running programs across the state, youth leadership and various programs linked with the church. So we were running things like Christian Life Weeks and camping programs, all of that stuff.
For the church.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
So you actually worked for the church?
I did, yes.
So how long did you do that and what did you do then?
Yeah, so that was 6 years there. Yeah. And then I got the opportunity to take on a new role in Ringwood. And it was for an organisation called REFS, R-E-F-S, which was Regional Extended Family Services. And it was all about keeping young people in particular out of the homelessness system. And we were trying, with referrals from the schools, to keep kids at home, to support them there, or if they weren't at home, in the first 8 weeks to try and get them back home again.
Oh, yeah. Mm. So, pardon me, you're saying that that's basically what you have really been involved with that all your working life, have you?
Well, that's certainly where it started. What I found, though, Alan, was having done youth work for a while, that it wasn't possible to actually work with young people apart from their families, and so I tended to move into family work then more broadly, and. The organisation that I was then with in Ringwood, we added a family counsellor and a psychologist and some wilderness workers and some homelessness workers, and we sort of worked holistically to, you know, sort of wrap services around these kids who were, you know, doing it pretty tough. Yeah.
All right. Chariots of Fire.
Yes. Chariots of Fire. Now, most listeners will be familiar with this was a 1981 movie. I love the movie and I love the music as well, Alan. It was, for listeners, just to let you know, it was based on a story in 1924 where Eric Liddell, who was a devout Scottish Christian, and Harold Abrams, who was an English Jew, basically were running in the Olympics. And the story goes... the end of the story is basically that Eric, because of his faith, didn't want to run on a Sunday. And so this whole Chariots of Fire theme, and some of you, as I talk now, will recall this scene of them running along the beach. But this is a very powerful track that I'm sure many listeners will be familiar with.
Let's play it. Bruce. So we've got you working in war as now family mediation, and you're still doing that. Is that right? Am I right?
No. So the journey went further, Alan, and I ended up after that moving into philanthropy and worked at Philanthropy Australia in Collins Street for 7 years.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I'm helping basically with members, people who ran trusts and foundations, yep, and wanted to give grants to support disadvantaged community, environment, people with disabilities, aged care, and so on. And then to finish the story, then that ultimately then led me into community banking. So there you go.
Well, that was going to be my next question. I know that you're involved with the Bendigo Bank down at Wurrialik. Why did you get involved with the banking? And you half started that. What? How did that come about?
Yeah. So, we won't make this a program about community banking, but we will just say that I've been the chair of the community bank here in Healesville, Alan, for seven years, and I suppose it's an extension of my commitment to the community in terms of being able to return the profits of the bank to community groups, to not for profits, to organisations.
Introduce you to the bank, or what?
Yeah. So basically, just asked me. It was actually Gary Slater who was the manager of the RSL here locally, and he was a director and just approached me about whether I'd be interested, and went from there. So there you go.
All right. Now, I also believe that at some stage of the game you've been a member of Toastmasters.
Yes, Alan.
How did you get involved with that?
Yes. Look, if I was really candid and honest with you, I would say that I got involved because, among other things, I was on a bit of a speaking circuit with the National Disability Service when they rolled out the NDIS.
Right.
And I remember being at a conference, some 300 people in Melbourne CBD, and I was doing one of the 20-minute presentation. And, Alan, I'm not very technical, but basically at the beginning of my presentation, my PowerPoint collapsed and I lost it, and I didn't even have a copy of the presentation I was doing because I was doing it off the screen, more for me. And I vowed that day that I was never going to put myself in a position again where I didn't have the confidence to speak publicly. So that was the beginning of my Toastmasters journey.
Sounds good. Righto, Christy Moore, ordinary man. How did that make it?
Yes, so Christy Moore, he's an Irish folk singer, for those of you who don't know Christy Moore. He was born in 1945. He's a songwriter and a guitarist. And I met him in Lismore in 1999 because it was the first event that my now wife, Jeanette, and I went to together. Back in 1999, and we were just absolutely gobsmacked with the quality of his singing. His guitar playing was amazing, and we heard him play a whole ensemble of songs that night at the Lismore Country Club. But one of those, my favourite, I think, was Ordinary Man. Is that the one we're going to play, Alan?
That's what we're playing.
Let's try that.
Let's go.
Special, nothing grand. I've had to work for everything I own. Oh well, I never asked for a lot. I was happy with what I got, enough to keep my family and my home. Now they say the times are hard, and they've handed me my cards. They say there's not the work to go around. When the whistle blows, the gates will finally close. Tonight they're going to shut this factory down. Then they'll tear it down. I never missed a day nor went on strike for better pay. Years I served them best I could. Now with a handshake and a check, it seems so easy to forget.
loyalty through the bad times and through good. Now the owner says he's sad to see the things have got so bad, but the captains of industry won't let him lose. He still drives a car and smokes a cigar, but still he takes his family on a cruise. Now it seems to me such a cruel irony. He's richer now than ever he was before. Now my check is spent and I can't afford the rent. There's one law for the rich, one for the poor. Every day I've tried to salvage some of my pride, to find some work so's I might pay my way. But everywhere I go, the answer's always no. There's no work for anyone here today. No work today. So condemned I stand, just an ordinary man, like thousands beside me in the queue. I watch my darling wife trying to make the best of life, and God knows what the kids are going to do. Now that we are faced with this human waste, a generation cast aside, for as long as I live, I never will forgive. You've stripped me of my dignity and pride. You've stripped me bare. You've stripped me bare. You've stripped me bare.
So we've got you, you're involved with a bank, you're at Toastmasters. Now, why the leap from there to Yarra Valley FM? How did, first of all, what, why did you want to do it and how did you do it?
Yeah, thanks, Alan. So 9 years ago, Cora Zon, who was a member of Toastmasters and is also a presenter here on radio, approached me about whether I'd be interested in being involved in a program with her, actually, initially, and then subsequently my own show. Yep. And that was the start of the journey, Alan, back there, nine years ago.
So what made you think, when Cora approached you, what made you think, yeah, I think I'll do that? Just something that intrigued you or what?
Yes, it was something I had not ever done before, obviously. Yep. And I suppose perhaps it says more about the fact that I like a challenge. And so this was totally different. Obviously, communication's always been important to me. So why not give it a go? Originally, it was just 3 months, just one season, Alan. You know all about that. And then 9 years later, that's the rest of the story.
All right, Celtic Women going home. Why did you pick that one?
Yes, obviously, with a name like Argyle, there's a very strong Celtic background, which for listeners, Scotland, Ireland, Celtic, things Celtic. So I've always been very attracted to my family history. I've done a lot of family history research.
Yep.
Been over there.
You shouldn't have found.
Not too much. No, been over to Scotland a few times, and haven't been to Ireland yet. But Christy Moore, who we just played before, he's still playing now, which is absolutely amazing. But Celtic Woman, Karen Matheson, there's a whole swathe of amazing voices, but it's not just their voices, it's their dancing, it's their, you know, their routines, everything, Alan. It's just...
Let's listen. Listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 19 minutes to 3 and 16 degrees. A quick reminder that Greg will be on at 3 o'clock with the Oz Indie Show. Always a terrific show. All right, Bruce, we like to ask the real hard questions. What was the first car you ever bought?
Ah, well, that's an easy one. It was a 1964 Mini Miner. So it was a good old Mini. It was chocolate brown, and... I paid $800 for it, Alan.
It did go really well. Neil Diamond, Sweet Carolina.
Look. Yeah, well, that was the same sort of vintage, wasn't it? Actually, and it was a toss-up whether I'd give you Sweet Carolina or Hot August Night, but I remember a girlfriend at the time, her name was Caroline, so I think that might have won out.
Hope that's not going to cause you trouble at home.
Where it began, I can't begin to knowin', but then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Hand, touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you. The night, and it don't seem so lonely. We fill it up with only two. And when I hurt, hurting runs off my shoulders. How can I hurt when holding you? Touching warm, reaching out, touching me, touching you.
Welcome back. And look, I have had a couple of people tell me that I sound a bit echoey in that. Well, there seems to be a problem with the microphone, it's unfortunately, and there's just not much we can do about it, but I'm really sorry. Bruce, you said you're in philanthropy.
that word, yes.
Yeah, that word. What was, without sort of maybe naming names, what would be the best donation or whatever it is that you ever got to make? Is there one that stands out?
Look, there were lots of them, Alan, but one I do remember in latter years was giving $50,000 to the Rainforest Rescue, which was an amazing organisation that were planting trees up in the Daintree. We funded a nursery project up there so they could plant another 20,000 trees. It was just a great project. Sorry, I should clarify, listeners, that wasn't my money. I was just involved in
you were part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
How much did you have each year to hand out?
Around about 300,000 In my little bucket, in my little patch, yeah. But many of the trusts and foundations give significantly more than that too, Alan. Yeah. Mm.
The monkeys. Hey, hey, we're the monkeys. Why?
Wow, I'm going to have to try and capture that one very, very quickly to say that I've also got, for those of you who do know me, a little bit of a warped sense of humour, a bit of a fun streak. And so I don't mind having a bit of fun or doing outlandish things. And the reason I chose this song for today was that on a certain April Fool's Day many years ago, we hired monkey suits, Alan. Seven of us, six adults and one child, full monkey suits, and we went around anonymously in a white van, knocking on people's doors and playing this tract, Hey, Hey, We're the Monkeys, while at the same time we would be rolling coconuts and throwing them across a volleyball net on the person's lawn, leaving the house with a trail of bananas as we went back to the back to the van. But this was the song that we played.
Let's play.
Here we come, walk down the street. We get the funniest looks from everyone we meet. Hey, hey, we're the monkeys, and people say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down. We go wherever we want to, do what we like to do. We don't have time to get restless, there's always something new. Hey, hey, we're the monkeys, and people say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down. We're just trying to be friendly, come and watch us sing and play. We're the young generation, and we've got something to say. Just look over your shoulder, guess who'll be standing there? Hey, hey, we're the monkeys, and people say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down.
Wow. One time.
Say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down. We're just trying to be friendly, come and watch us sing and play. We're the young generation, and we've got something to say.
Bruce, when you say you're in mediation, you're mediating with families?
Yeah, mainly between parents and young people, Alan, and typically it was scenarios where relationships had broken down, communication wasn't happening, there was issues around respect and trust and all the usual suspects in family life.
Mm. Who would bring that to you? Like, would it be the parents who come and say, Bruce, we've got a problem, or the young person who come and say to you? No,
actually it was through the schools, Alan. So we linked up. Right. Yeah, so we linked up with the local secondary schools, eight of them around the greater Ringwood Croydon area, and the student welfare coordinators in those schools would actually, they'd become aware of a young person who was out of home or in a difficult situation and refer them to us, and we'd run from there.
Did you find any resistance from parents who would say, well, I couldn't do it, so why should you?
Yeah, there was the usual sort of issues around, you know, different generations, different expectations, but ultimately blood is thicker than water, and those same parents, you know, they wanted to have a relationship with a young person, and in most cases, over 80% of the time, Alan, we were able to maintain a relationship, you know, to actually get it to work.
Terrific. Mm. The Beach Boys, Surfing USA. Warren Bruce?
Well, yes, in a nutshell, I guess this just brings back a lot of memories for those 4 years that I lived in California, and it was a current theme, and who doesn't like the Beach Boys, really?
If you had a choice between Australia, well, you actually made the choice and came back to Australia, have you ever wished that you'd stayed here over in America?
Yeah, that's a tough one. There were some things, and this is probably for another program, Alan, but there were some things I absolutely loved about America, and there's some things I really hated. And it was kind of like, you know, a bit of both. Yeah. Ultimately, though, I found the American people just so warm, generous, you know, welcoming. It was a lovely time.
But you were still happy to come back?
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Had you had any experience with Australia prior? Because you went from New Zealand to America. So did you just come over here and hope this was going to be all
right? Yeah, no, didn't know anyone here, really. So it was once again walking into new territory, and I guess I've always been up for a challenge in life, and that was the next one.
Let's listen.
Bushy blonde hairdo, surfing USA. You'll catch him surfing at
inside, outside USA.
Ventura County line,
inside, outside USA.
Santa Cruz and USA.
First of all, I'd like to thank you for being part of Choice Tunes. We know a lot more about you, and so do the audience now, than what they did prior to that. Now, tell us about your show, Bruce.
Yeah, fantastic. Look, and thanks so much, Alan. It's been absolutely terrific. Listeners, you'll know that I've been on the Thursday morning time slot, but I have had a couple of months off, Alan. Yeah. So mainly, listeners, because we've been investing time in getting the new studios all set up here and all of that. So that's been a bit of a distraction for some of us on the committee. But anyway, we're getting back to it.
What made you get involved with the committee?
I've always had a strong passion for things in the community, and community radio is right at the very heart of that, Alan. Yep. So, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Terrific.
And we've got a great team, haven't we?
Oh, well, I think we have. So, and some of us have been here a while, so it's really good. Just a quick reminder, I'll be back next Wednesday between 12 and 2. I know I've got interviews. I just can't remember offhand who they are, and it's sometimes on the 5th, Wednesday of the month, we don't always have interviews, but I've got two interviews. I think one of them is the community house down at Wirrealik, and I'm not too sure of the other, but I'll be here between 12 and 2 next Wednesday. Bruce will be... Are you? Well, you're not on...
No, not on this week, yeah.
So, time for me to go. Look, thank you for the people who have been with me for the last 3 hours. We've had Siri in. I must also mention there'll be a podcast of this show, well, or the 3 hours will be going up. You'll be able, if you missed any of Bruce, you'll be able to listen to him again on the podcast. That'll be up early next week. Look, there's a terrific lot of podcasts up there between the, all the choice tunes I've done over the last about three or four years. Community Connections is heaps of them up there. So when you've got time, just have a quick listen to the those podcasts. And the one I did last week in Community Connections was all about tradies and mental health. Well worth a listen. Time for me to go. Thanks, Bruce.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks, listeners.